Okay, good afternoon. This is Julie Fedorchak. Good morning. This is Julie Fedorchak with the North Dakota Public Service Commission. We are on the 12th floor of the Capitol for the admin portion of our meeting. It's December 14th at 11 p.m., and I call this to order. There are four items on consent, and I move passage of those items.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion?
I just want to make one comment here. Yes, I wanted to make sure it was in here. So one of the items we just passed is the hiring of Jill Steinwand in the accounting position. I think it's accountant / budget specialist. Jill, thank you. It's been great having you here the last couple of months on a temporary basis. We look forward to having you on a permanent basis, filling the shoes of Josh Gallion, who's been here for how many years? Five? 4 or 5 years?
Like, yeah.
Daryl, do you know exactly?
7, I think.
7 years?
Seven.
Has it been 7 years for Josh? Wow. Well, and this is also a good time to thank Josh for his service. If he's listening out there, he has done a great job. He's been 100% in. He has shaken things up, and I think he's been a good addition, a good member of the team for a number of years here and accepted new responsibilities all along the way. Always appreciate that. And provided his honest opinion and advice without reservation. And I think that's a skill that is really important in agencies. So thank you to Josh. Welcome to Jill. And good luck to Josh as he takes over as the auditor of the for the state. Exciting to leave here and go there. So that's all the comments I had about that motion.
Any further discussion? Sensing none?
I would just highlight also Craig Riemann taking over as program manager of our gas pipeline safety. So
more changes.
Thank you for stepping up to that role. It's a big responsibility. Appreciate you.
Thanks, Craig, for your insights and your perspective, too. You have a lot of good industry knowledge that has been a benefit to that program, and appreciate you stepping up in the leadership role there.
Any further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Okay, thank you, Daryl. So we'll move on to discussion matters. There is a couple of them. We'll start with number one, which is Conrad's Weights and Measures.
I'll say good morning, commissioners. First time appearing before you as advocacy of a program here, so I'm kind
we
of
swear him in, you think?
So, and I'll say, you know, if you want to grill me on the topics, feel free. I'm not shy to that. So first one on the agenda I'd like to talk about is the we've got the large-scale inspection truck. We've got two of those currently in our fleet. One is parked down at the DOT here in Bismarck. It's been parked there for a number of years now. And I understand that, you know, there was some thoughts in the past to be able to utilize that truck and, you know, having it centrally based out of the Bismarck area, and those it never really came to fruition. There's a couple issues with that truck. All the standards would need to be recertified. There's a couple issues with the weight carts in there that require repair, and that'd be a couple $1,000 there. And so with that being said, with the program that we currently have, and we're not really looking to change that much, we've got one heavy scale truck, which Wayne drives right now, is one proposal I have is to be able to take that truck and remove all of our stuff from it, surplus those items, and give it back to the DOT. Right now, that truck is just currently costing the commission dollars in that sense. And I understand with these budgetary times that, you know, we want to make sure that we can maximize what utilities we have out there currently. And with not really seeing any plans, it hasn't moved forward in the last couple of years. I think now would be a good time for the commission to move forward with that and to be able to save some money in that area, especially in the program that we're looking at possibly eventually being able to take some credit card payments. We've got to look for room in our budget. Where is that money going to come from for these fees and transactions that we're going to be having out there? And so with that, I understand right now our current heavy scale QA operation is based out of Fargo, and what he currently does is he takes that truck and he drives it to an area of the state such as Williston, which is an opposite corner, and he'll leave that truck there for the time that he's there at the DOT and just check out a vehicle and drive it back to Fargo on the weekend. So we're currently utilizing that as much as we can to be able to keep the cost down with that. And so long-term goal of the program would be to eventually have that heavy scale truck based out of Bismarck and be more centrally located for the state. So moving forward, you know, no changes right now as far as Wayne's operation, but I'm just looking down the road, you know, five or so years down the road on how we want to move forward with that to be able to be a more effective program.
I think that makes sense to me, Connor, but isn't there an issue, too, about DOT doesn't like where we're parking it at now, we can't park there in the future? What was that other discussion
yes,
on that?
Yes, Commissioner, that's a good point you brought up. Right now, it's been kind of a hardship for the DOT down there. Jody and the whole staff of the DOT has been very accommodating with us having that truck down there, but it sits so long that the batteries die on the truck. They then have to go out there with their supplies and manpower to get those batteries charged up. In fact, I think a year ago they had to replace the truck batteries to be able to get it started, to be able to move it, and they are just having to shuffle it around their lot. And this spring they're working on construction of a new shed down there in which that truck is going to have to leave their property while they're doing that. So that's the other dilemma we're faced with is where else are we going to be able to park this unit that they've been graciously letting us park that down there.
Couple of questions. How much would it cost to buy a new truck like this? I've never seen it. Does it have a different use other than carrying these weights around? Like, what would you do with it?
Well, probably, I can't foresee. I mean, it's got a utility box on it, but it's been specially converted to be able to use as a scale truck. We do have a couple of registered service companies that are inquiring about if we have a truck and would be willing to sell that truck. Obviously, they don't understand quite how the state has to, you know, get
surplus
rid of assets
things,
and
right.
surplus items. But I know that truck would probably be utilized by another service company out there. You know, if it went up for auction at the DOT, they'd be able to then purchase that truck at that point. It'd be a considerable amount to purchase. I don't have a dollar figure as far as the purchase of a brand new truck, but I just know looking at what it's currently costing us now.
So my only caution on this is that I'd like to personally wait till after the session to see where we land with weights and measures after the legislative session, because it's always one of the programs that is talked about a lot, and it's changed over the last few years considerably. So since we have it and it's a costly item to replace, what I've heard Josh talk about, and I've always thought it has some merit, is if the program changes further down the road, either expanding or contracting, there's some validity to the idea of having east and west inspectors for both, in which case we'd want two trucks. And so not knowing where we're going to be going this legislative session, I think, and we've held on to it this long, I think it'd be a bad time to get rid of it now. I'd rather wait like 4 or 5 months, and then after this session, if there aren't any significant changes that we need, or, you know, staff leave, if somebody were to leave the program and you only had two, then would you reconfigure the program some at that point? I just think I'd rather wait through the session and see where we're at, and then if nothing's changed, sell it or get rid of it through the surplus. Just because it's really going to be expensive to buy new. So if we had to go back and rethink it, and due to inspectors covering, you know, half the state, that would be an expensive outlay. That's one thought.
It is a good point. For all we would know, there could be some legislator out there that's upset about a scale that their constituent has found off and has some bill in to require more testing or something like that. And who would know what might happen in the next 4 months? And since we're this close, maybe it is probably a good idea to
Makes sense
just
to
delay
me.
This a little
Hang on
bit.
To it till May, and if there's nothing cooking by May, then turn it in, and we can. That's fine.
Yeah.
They're not going to start their new building, I wouldn't assume, until spring.
They threw out March, but obviously we know that can be, you know, they're, you know, really trying to throw a dart at a dartboard and a dartboard.
Well, but if we don't have a bill in by crossover to add weights and measures, wouldn't that be a reasonable time, March 1st, to turn it in.
We'd certainly know a lot more about our budget. But also, I mean, come on, we can find a place to park a truck. I mean, that's not a real strong rationale for selling something that you might need. If it really came down to it, we could find a place for it.
I
would talk to
Grant
Levi personally.
Because I think the parking is a secondary issue, but I don't think it's just not a needed asset.
Right. So if it came to that, but I mean, we would have a better sense by March for sure. And we can reevaluate that once DOT comes and says, what do you want to do with this truck?
I think it would be a good idea.
Park it at my house.
Yeah, that makes sense.
A few months here anyway.
I don't know if you know how big it is, Commissioner.
Cheryl and I
do that. That's fine.
We had a truck. We did have a truck parked out in our cul-de-sac from my nephew, who's a farmer. And my husband went and got this truck and parked it in front of our.
Take a picture of it, Conrad, and send it.
It looked really funny to see this giant egg truck parked outside in our house.
You can know it. April 1st, Commissioner Fedorchak's house.
We can put it by. Maybe Cheryl can appreciate the truck too.
Okay, I understand, Commissioners, and I'll put it on there, and I'll also take a look at the program and figure out, you know. Hopefully we'll have some more direction, if not from the legislators, but as far as what direction we want to take the program in.
Yeah, very good. Okay, number two, response to PHMSA regarding what?
Let me back up real quick on the metrology lab.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, that's all right. No problem, Commissioner. Just an update on the metrology lab. I've been working with Alan Brinkman over at Surplus. He's the one that's been kind of overseeing this for the last number of years. And basically, it took them approximately probably 2 or 3 years to figure out that they have no idea how to price this equipment over there. So my recommendation at this point is we have a state, South Dakota, who is interested in it. It's the only ones that I know of to date that have any type of interest in this equipment. Nobody else has wanted it. Nobody else has looked at it. And so I'd say we go back to their program, the South Dakota, and basically have them offer us a price for it, because in that way it benefits the commission and the state of North Dakota in the fact that we'll have another state that's going to have an expanded lab that's just to the south of us, where when we go to get our standards certified, we have the option to either go to Minnesota, or if we have scheduling conflicts or something arises at their lab, then we would have South Dakota's to go to as well at that point. So my proposal and my recommendation for this is to allow us just to talk to them and say, what would you offer to it? And at that point, I can bring it back to the commission and see what the three of you think of that idea and move forward with that so that we can get the, have the property removed and have it put to some good use.
I told Conrad $1 per item. I mean, it's going to another state. We benefit. This has been kicked around for almost 8 years.
Yeah, I have no problem. I mean, get as much as we
$1
can.
Not $1, but
okay, we'll go to.
I'll bid a lot more than that on the tool chest. I'll tell you that.
But it's going to another state.
Yeah.
Andy
wants it. That's what he just said.
No, that does this violate any rules or anything like that to notify them that it's not. Before it's opened up to the public, or the person that you mentioned, I'm not familiar with. Is there any rules or things that we have to follow, or can we go ahead and do that?
From what I understand, talking to Alan, there's not. He let me know that they've done other stuff. As long as the equipment is going from one political subdivision to another political subdivision, whether that's in state or out of state, then this process complies with the rules and laws.
Okay, then I'm fine with it, and I will add.
$2
what Conrad has said. I know Commissioner Kramer at the time worked with ED&F.
Everybody.
To try and find someone who would maybe set up a metrology lab here or do something with it, and never got that pulled together. And I restarted that whole thing because by then Al Anderson had taken over at Commerce, and so there was new head over there, and I was fired up about it, and I know Mr. Anderson had feelers out for quite a period of time, and we've just been unsuccessful. So I think the likelihood is as close to zero as it can possibly be that we're going to get someone to come in here and set up a metrology lab. That would be very beneficial to the state if it happened, but at least this set of equipment doesn't seem to be enough to inspire anyone to do it. So I think we're on the right track.
And one last thing to add to that, and I just want to plant the seed for later that with this equipment, I want to approach South Dakota with the attitude that it's an all or nothing deal, because if we allow them to cherry pick and right. take what they want, then we're going to be left with surplus equipment that we just can't get rid of and everything. So I think it's better off for them to take it as a package deal, and then they can decide what they want to utilize and what they don't want to utilize.
Of course, it sounds like you could put that whatever surplus would be left over at Julie's place.
Sounds like maybe there's another garage stall there.
Actually, I heard you express some interest in this.
The toolbox.
Toolbox.
All right. Very good. Thank you, Conrad. It's nice to wrap those items up because there's some things that have been hanging out there a while. All right. Pat, number two is yours. Response to PHMSA regarding calendar year 2015 gas program. I have read it. The letters, and I just had a couple of questions. I don't know if you want me to just jump in with that, if that's all right.
Yeah, absolutely.
You guys.
I've also read them, and I didn't have objections.
Okay. I was looking at the well, first of all, I was confused by the a view of the natural gas base number one in their letter, that they reviewed this program and the progress report resulted in a score of 50 out of 50, which is great. And then they go through and talk about where we lost points. So how am I I'm missing something?
Well, the
is that something else that got 50 out of 50? Not the
program? The state program is rated on two things. It's rated, first of all, on our progress report that we file at the end of the year, summarizing what we have completed, the accomplishments we have had for the year. And so there's 50 points related to that progress report. And then the other 50 points is related to their audit of our program.
I see. Okay. Very well. Then, and maybe, I don't know if Craig wants to participate too, but as a result, so number two, it sounded to me like you need to just write down more of what you guys use in your process. You probably have the process, just isn't written down.
Yeah, they were looking, they were looking for procedures related to individual inspections and how we approach those. We do have standards that we adhere to, but they weren't necessarily written down to their satisfaction. So,
okay. So you're just going to have to increase the documentation. All right. And I'm not to belabor this point, but we don't spend a lot of time evaluating this and discussing it. So this letter and this is one review that I kind of like to make sure I'm looking at pretty carefully. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time, but I just have a couple of things. The number three, where they say inadequate procedures, evaluating to make sure that you guys are qualified to inspect. So it says here, there must be a method of evaluating, documenting, and on appropriate state evaluation forms, notifying the qualifying criteria and factors that resulted in qualifying a state inspector as lead inspector for a specific inspection activity. This one surprised me because I thought they had the training program and you completed that and you were qualified. So what are they talking about here?
What they're talking about is prior to completing the training, the program manager has the authority to allow someone to be a lead inspector.
Okay.
So, and that was done last year, but we didn't have procedures stating how that determination was made.
So basically, if I'm hearing you and remember this, Pat, you, I think, probably, or Aaron, qualified Craig to inspect things based on his experience as a lead inspector, and that's what they just want more documentation about.
Well, actually, I don't think Craig ended up being a lead inspector on any of the inspections, but he could have.
Okay.
And the way that would be done is that, you know, Craig has experience mm-hmm. with the industry, a very specific experience that would have qualified him to go out and do lead inspections.
Okay, so you guys made that determination but you didn't document
it. We don't have
it.
A procedure that says this is how we determine whether when an inspector is definitely qualified to be a lead inspector.
All right. Very good. And then on number four, the state programs, and this is the area where I think I like where FIMS is going in terms of it's more of a needs-based inspection protocol where you really try to target where the weaknesses are and zero in on that. And so it sounds like you guys have started down that direction, but maybe you can just talk a little bit about what you're doing there. And then it says here, although the NDPSC currently reviews the performance metrics, so I'm interested in hearing about how you do that, and they should perform analysis on negative trends to incorporate potential actions to improve the trend. How do you plan on doing that? And then they said here it was noted that the PSC performance metrics did not seem to be accurate, so that maybe that was just a reporting thing, or I'm not sure. So just talk through what they're talking about here in the three areas.
The inaccuracy was more related to the individual's companies on their annual reports had some inaccuracies, so we took those reports and used that data.
Which didn't correlate with your inspections?
Which didn't correlate with year over year. You know, when you look, they had X number of repairs. It didn't necessarily correlate with the number of leaks they had the prior year. So it was...
Okay. So are they suggesting that you guys need to dig into that? And when there is that kind of a discrepancy, ask the company, like, why don't you have the same number of repairs for leaks?
And how companies rate their
count
leaks.
It.
You know, it. Every company does things a little different, so I think they're looking for us to standardize how we ask for that information.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How are you using this more, using these metrics to direct your work, your analysis of where the greatest concerns are, and then translating that to where you inspect?
Going forward, FIMS is looking for the commission to rate individual operators, and one of the metrics we'd rate them on would be leaks and how they repair them, the amount of miles of line they have. So we would visit the companies that didn't perform as well more often, and that's just a standard grading system that we're in the process of developing.
Okay. Good. Remember the... Go ahead. They call it risk-based inspecting.
One of the things that Craig and Pat and I talked about is I think that's really nice to have going to have Craig here all the time for this kind of discussion. But also as they go through setting up the system, you know, I asked the guys at the FIMS, guys and gals, I'm like, so do we have enough people to do this? And like, well, the system will tell you if you have enough people to do it, but it's hard to imagine you can do the stuff you're supposed to with two people.
Right.
And so that where I don't know if we want to weave it into our testimony somewhere, but – we do pretty darn well with the two people we have. Get it just going forward to meet all this stuff, we're not going to have enough hands to go around.
Well, and that's where I think we need to take a careful look and definitely incorporate that into our testimony, because is there a formula or how does the system tell you when you say the system will tell you if you have enough?
Well,
what is it saying right now? I mean, and where?
We're still developing it, right?
Well, PHMSA has its own system
for
the number of person days that's required. It's still brand new, so they aren't implementing that. Last year was their first run at it. We entered the miles of pipe that we have, so this would be more for inspectors specifically. It shows that we're a little light on the inspection side for people, but it wasn't totally
significant.
Does
it take into consideration age of infrastructure? Is that a factor? Because I know, like on the East Coast, where you have some pipe that is ancient, I mean, you have wood pipe out there. It seems like you might need more inspectors, so a formula that dictates like miles per inspector might not be the same for the East versus North Dakota, where our pipe, a lot of it, isn't that old.
Well, it also takes into account the distance that we have to cover versus, you know, a smaller state.
Sure.
So
that maybe those two cancel each other out, maybe.
Yeah, a little bit, but it's still a new formula that they're working with. So.
Right.
We don't have a lot of, you know, the pipe materials that have been used in North Dakota. We don't have a lot of cast iron, for example.
Right.
We don't have a lot of problem.
We don't have any cast iron. Don't say a lot. We don't have any.
Right, we don't have any. and so the materials that are used here aren't designated as problem materials for our pipelines. And, mm-hmm. and therefore, that isn't going to be a, the material isn't going to be a, raise the amount of inspection. And the age could a little bit, but not as much as even the distances that we travel to go from one operator to the next for inspections.
Yeah, it's time-consuming. All right. That. So how are you feeling about this risk-based inspection? Is it? It seems like a step in the right direction. Is it something that we are going to have up and running this next year?
Well, we have to.
Yes.
So the answer is yes in some form.
Okay.
Yeah. I think back to that's why it's so critical to have Craig here. The challenge is going to be the number of inspection days he's supposed to be doing, but he's not going to be able to do because he's in here doing all this stuff, how
right.
that's going to all play out.
Yeah.
That was one of the challenges we had when we had Al and Kevin. They just – in order to keep up with the paperwork inside, you weren't out doing your inspections. So,
well, and that's my – and I like having you here, but that's the first thing that raises my – in my mind
yep.
is when you're here, you're not out inspecting. And paperwork is an important part of it, but we've got to get the inspection days in. So how are we going to do that?
Or do the best we can, and we'll come up with some number, but it comes down to the number of bodies that we can get. We made a run at it before, and – say our piece, and then next year we'll – I think we have to set priorities for them. I think that priorities is get the system up and running, do as much inspection days as we can. But if we come up light on inspection days, that's just the cost of doing business. And then we'll have to go back and try to make our pitch again.
Well, and if we can streamline some of the paperwork in any way with the IT stuff
yeah.
or support getting the paperwork done, you know, then – I think we should look at that, too.
What I guess, and I wish Aaron was here so he could say his piece, but I think that there's going to be some synergy gained by having Craig here and with the inspector so he can pop in here for an hour or two here and there. He knows when the meetings are, where Aaron being program manager over there, it just really was hard to manage things.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Aaron will pick up more of the inspections, and that's what he'll do, just be basically a full-time inspector.
Yeah.
And Craig will still do his inspections, but have key times where he's going to come by here.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hopeful that kind of plays itself out.
Okay, good.
And he's a sharp
dresser.
Well,
you know, we've got Aaron, we've got Craig, you know, on the paperwork stuff. Unless you have to be a certified inspector to complete the paperwork, let's get the technical person out doing the inspections and have somebody who doesn't need to be that doing the paperwork, if we can work to that. And I don't know if that's realistic. Maybe they're one and the same. But if you have, in order to understand the paperwork, you have to be an inspector. But anyway, just
well, thought. At least we know that both of our doing inspection work, everybody's nearly fully qualified. And I think Craig has just a couple classes left.
Yeah,
well,
they're both fully qualified for inspection.
Your point is key. We've never had two inspectors for more than a year together. So to me, I've talked to both these guys. It's critical that we keep them here, right? Because we go back if we lose, and then we'd be the turnover going again, and then we fall farther behind.
What kind of candy do you like, Craig? Oh, it's your favorite restaurant. All right. Okay, good. I don't have any other questions.
I do.
Good.
How many states have a state program?
48.
And have you seen their scores?
I haven't looked for it specifically, but we're ready.
Would you say that is this one of those things where they're going to find two or three points to take away from everybody? Or is this pretty bad that most states get maybe only 1 point or none taken away and this is a real poor result?
I would say that our results are pretty good. We had a new evaluator this year that we haven't had in the past, so I think he was getting more of his bearings around our program, so I think he was maybe a little generous, to be honest. Yeah, he did a good job for us, so.
Okay.
I just would, if I could add to that, I think that it's a very good score as well. And there's always room for improvement in any program, and so if they point out things to us that where we can improve, that's great.
Yeah.
Good. In the past, we've had like 5-6 points, didn't we, taken away?
Yeah, we've had more points taken away in the past.
Good. Well, good work. It's a really important program. I mean, you see that. Well, it wasn't a leak. It was a third-party strikeout in Oregon where that whole building blew up and a couple people were killed. And this stuff is just, it's really important. And it goes quietly behind the scenes, occurs until there's a disaster, and then everybody is awakened to how important this is. So really appreciate you guys focusing your expertise on it and keeping that, you know, fresh in the front of your mind constantly when you're working, what an important job it is that you're doing, making sure that these companies are operating to the highest possible standards. So
on that, Julie, Stacy just let me know that there was a fatality north of town, an explosion last night, two fatalities, and so she called MDU. They don't believe they have any services up there, and so we relay that back to Amy Dalrymple. As soon as Craig's done here, he's going to zip up there and see what he can see. So in case we get inquired, probably a propane tank if it's not an MDU service. So,
where was it?
5 miles north of Mandan on
806. Wow. Jeez.
So if you guys get any questions about it, that's Craig's going to send us a note back when he gets back.
Okay, be careful. Yeah. All right. Any other questions for Craig and Pat?
So you just want me to sign it then? Is that all right?
I think it looks good.
All right, Pat, we'll sign her after the meeting.
Okay, that concludes the discussion matters, and we can move on to scheduling. Victor is not in the room for the RTO meeting.
I just asked him to put that on there, and I don't know if we need it so much, Madam Chair, but I thought that it might be helpful for you and I just to have a 20-minute visit about... A 20-minute visit about the changeover of MISO and SPP.
Oh, sure. But on that kind of a meeting, yes.
Yeah, that's a good idea. It's just more of a comparing notes. And, Victor, just so you know, that we had a last-minute change to the agenda, so I'm still on SPP.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I got outvoted, so. But I just thought...
If he looks kind of defeated.
I know, right? He's like, I'm looking home for Julie. Sorry. But it was more of just, Julie, if you want to...
No offense, Victor, but the first email you sent included all kinds of registration and this, that. And I was like, I can't do this.
We don't have to do it, Julie. I just put it on there if you want to just do
No, I think it's good to sit down and get
hour.
Jerry and Vic and you and I.
And Randy would certainly be welcome.
So what do we want to do this before Christmas or do we want to wait till after?
I would think after is fine. The next SPP meeting, but I'll go into it anyway. You know, it's really up to you, I guess. I have nothing January 11th right now for some reason.
Well, are you around on the 20th? Should we do it?
Yep, I'm around the 20th.
I mean, that seems pretty open.
Yep.
Doesn't it? Am I missing something? We're going to have a special that's probably the day we'll have our special commission meeting.
I have nothing that afternoon at all.
And I thought we were probably going to try to do that in the afternoon for some reason.
I got a morning meeting. Probably paperwork.
So you've got a morning meeting?
I'm done at 10 in the morning.
Well, let's say 10 o'clock. Does that work for you guys?
What day is it?
Oh, that's Tuesday. Sorry, that doesn't work for you,
Chair. Tuesday afternoon would work, though.
Afternoon works.
Okay, let's say 2.
Perfect.
December 20th?
Yes.
So maybe we just go through the meeting. I guess what I was thinking about the meeting is kind of go through just a rough straw of these are the meetings that are out there and kind of figure who'd go to them between you
sure.
and I and Jerry and Vic and maybe anybody else. Jack has gone to some too, but he's got a lot on his plate too. So
yeah. All right. Let's do that. The 20th at 2 p.m.
So
RTO planning meeting, Daryl, you can call it.
Okay. And Jerry, calm down. Those guys are going to want to fly up here for the meeting. Tell them they don't need to come. All right.
How about RTO staff planning? Because it'll have to be noticed.
Yep.
RTO staffing. Yeah. RTO staff planning meeting or staffing.
Yeah. Staff planning meeting. I like that.
Yeah.
Okay, perfect.
Okay, special commission meeting, wind farm decommissioning. I think, oh, yeah. Wait a minute. Was that why we were doing that?
Supposed to be telecom.
No, we were going to have two meetings that day, and that was one of them, but then it was going to be impossible for them to get all the changes done, so
yeah.
We were going to move that to January, I can't remember which day, but there was something else we were always going to have on the 20th.
It was the day after, yeah, because the 19th was the final day for
comments
on the Quest.
It's to vote on that CenturyLink Quest stuff.
Set, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yep.
That's what that is.
That's what the main driver was.
Okay, so let's do that. Do we want to... That doesn't involve... So we could do that in the morning. Yeah, let's do it at 10, shall
we? Can we go just 10:30 just in case I run a little long in my morning?
Yeah, no, 10:30 would be fine.
And this is a telecom?
Well, it would be a special commission meeting, and we'd add the telecom, and that item that you held over today would probably get added onto it.
It's not just telecom, Jerry, or Daryl. You have to get the case number on that CenturyLink case.
CenturyLink, okay.
The settlement that we had a hearing on this week.
All right.
I'll probably have an item for that meeting as well.
Okay.
Notice of intent to award.
Oh, your contract, that's right, for the rate case.
Oh, good.
I said, yeah, absolutely.
Right. I'm hoping we can get it done. So the responses are due this Friday, and I'd like to get that notice out so that we can issue the contract the first meeting in January.
Good.
And that's kind of this next week.
Perfect
is kind of
timing.
Yep. For that. So.
So we might have the
There'd
Savage.
Be three items.
Well, it might be the Savage item to the pipeline connector that we held over today.
Okay, thank you.
So there would be the CenturyLink potentially if we don't get any requests for additional consideration, the CenturyLink settlement, the VIX contract. What was the other thing? Besides the Savage, there was one more.
The wind farm decommissioning, but that's not a meeting.
No, that's not going to. Did you have one more, Stacey? No.
Telecom, Savage, and the contract award.
Okay. So we know that for sure. There might be other things that pop up.
Okay. But.
Okay. So that's the second item. January legislative meeting. I'm not sure why that's on here. I thought we set these all up.
We set these.
Well, no, there
we
was...
We were going to move it earlier because the first one on that first Friday is during Mark.
Yeah, I thought
so
we could
back that up into...
We figure out how to do it.
And then I forgot to look. Is the third the swearing in and State of the State day?
Yes.
Yep.
So the fourth will still work for our meeting. There's nothing official legislatively for us.
Correct.
So, as far as I know, we don't have a formal hearing, do we?
I don't have anything listed.
What do you mean, an informal?
An informal.
I have
not that
listed
I know
either.
Are we trying to go through bills and stuff, or what are we doing?
I thought it'd be a good chance to review testimony, just to have something in the calendar, because no doubt there'll be.
Well, and there should be a bunch of pre-filed bills that we.
Okay. All right.
Just a chance to
go. So the fourth at 1:30, let's say.
Yeah.
Okay. And are you two signed up for the governor event that evening?
Yes.
The North Dakota Casual?
I'm so, for the record, Governor Burgum, if you're listening to our meeting.
I'm sure he is.
I'm so disappointed you made it casual.
Karen is devastated.
She's
still buying a dress.
The only fancy event in the state. Once every 4 years or 8 years or whatever when there's a new governor.
Mrs. Kalk will be sporting a new dress, just so you know.
A fancy one?
Yep.
All right. I might have to join her.
She says that's what she said, too.
Got one in my car to return. All right. So how do you feel about that, Randy? Are you devastated?
I was going to go with ugly sweater that day.
Well, it sounds like you still can. That would be North Dakota festive or whatever the term is. Celebratory.
Casual. North Dakota casual.
Yeah, but then he called it celebration attire or something.
So anyway. So then, although I still don't have all these Friday meetings, they haven't been put on my calendar yet. I don't know about yours.
No, they're not there yet.
But the legislative discussions for every Friday morning, we cannot do the 6th then because we're having it on the 4th,
right.
Correct?
Right.
And those are, we start those at 10, right?
11.
11. 11. Perfect.
You know, I would almost say just the meeting the 4th, we could talk budget and legislative stuff, but I'd leave the one on the 6th because if Julie happens to be here, or even if you're not here, we still may, that extra 2 days is all, you never just know.
I won't be here. Okay, I'll either be at Mark, which is unlikely, or I'll be in Wisconsin. Okay. And I leave on Thursday.
All right.
Well, I'd just soon keep it on just for a committee anyway.
Sure, you guys can go through them.
We would still be there, commissioners.
There's always something that comes up, especially that first week.
Continue to facilitate that at the, you know.
Okay.
Excuse me, I have a question. None of you have it on your calendars, legislative meetings every Friday?
No, none of those Fridays.
Oh, I have one on the 13th.
I have mine starting now. I do have it, Esther. I was wrong.
I have it starting the 6th.
I have mine on, too. So.
Yeah.
You don't have any, Randy?
Nope.
I have mine through till April 28th.
I will look into that.
Weird.
Mine is all on.
You have to click accept and then not decline.
I don't actually even have to do that. Okay. So we've got the January legislative meeting will be on the 6th as well as on the 4th. And we said at 10:30. Right?
Yes.
No, 10:30 for the special meeting.
1:30 in January.
Oh, 10:30 for the special meeting. Okay.
No. 1:30 on the 4th,
yep.
And I thought you said 11 on the others, but 10:30 is fine with me.
11 on the others.
Right, but we're talking, sorry, we added, Brian was referring to the special meeting on that day.
On the 20th.
The special meeting.
Oh, you're back to December 20th now. Yeah. Okay, yeah, that's at 10:30.
Sorry, 10:30 on the special meeting the day before. 1:30 will be the legislative meeting on that Wednesday. In place of our informal. Okay, work session on NSP electric rate case application.
That's not so much, it's all those
not
things.
The right one.
I don't know how else to notice it. That's part of the problem because it should be work session to amend the electric rate application or something like that so we notice it. But that's from yesterday. So I just figured something in February. It's the placeholder. Or late January.
Legislation. Okay, request to amend the order.
Yeah. Stuff from yesterday. We could issue both. So I'd throw out there January 26th, 30th, or February 9th.
Say the dates again.
I'm just throwing out January 26th, or the 30th, or February 9th.
30th looks good. 26th, I have a potential conflict.
Okay, let's go to the 30th.
30th works for me.
30th in the afternoon?
Sure.
1300 to 1:30?
Sure.
1:30. And Jerry, can you figure out how to notice those things so we know what they are? Would be, because it's the case number, but it's.
So it's request
it's actually
to amend.
Two different things.
Request to amend.
One's a request to amend and one's a request. I just, if you guys could figure it out.
They're withdrawing the other request, though.
So. Is there a I was thinking, because I sent a little bit different description than what you see here when I asked Esther for putting it on, but is there a specific format you're following for?
Well, when I put it in, when I put the case number in, it brings up whatever the case.
Brings it up?
Yeah.
Automatically, this is what happens.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, it does it automatically.
Because that's what the name of the case was given.
Okay. Well, we'll just have to know, I guess.
All right.
But I can put underneath it whatever you guys want.
Just put underneath it then, request to amend.
Yeah.
Don't put it away.
Request to amend order?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's get it ready.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Oh, I have one more. Oh, geez, I almost forgot.
Randy does too.
All right. We'll let him go first because he's going to be the new chair. So,
I
don't know.
So much free willing when he's chair.
I don't know if I. just neglected to write this down and then quickly forgot, or if we never got to the point of it. But number two, the wind farm decommissioning meeting, we were going to once have it on the 20th, but we didn't need to, and we pointed that out. But we're still on the 20th going to have the CenturyLink case. But then we never looped back around to setting this. And in our discussion the other day, in our previous work session, they thought they would have their work completed by the 4th. And I thought then we were going to do that in the afternoon instead of our informal, but now we set our legislative meeting at the time of the informal. But so we still need to schedule something on the 4th for that wind farm decommissioning.
Well, I wasn't
a work
clear.
Session to go through the rules again.
Yeah.
Okay, so you don't just want to go right to a vote. You want to do another work session. Because I thought you were going to make the changes and then you and Jack would figure it out and you'd just propose something on the meeting on the 4th and we would just vote on it. But if you wanted a work session.
I'm fine with that. If you two feel that the directions are clear enough, then I'll just, if we don't hear objections as he shops, it'll. Yep. But it'll probably be not done much before then because it's not needed till about then. But we'll just plan on putting it on.
You seem pretty anxious to get a vote on it.
I think if he can shop it around even. I thought he said he'd try to get it that week before. I thought I remember him saying like he'd try to get it the middle of that week.
I know he sure has put a lot of work into it already and is putting in a lot of hours. So, okay, we'll just plan on it being on the agenda.
All right.
And then
is there anything else, Randy?
No, that's it.
Okay. My request, I've got a conflict that has arisen February 1st for this meeting. Would there be any heartburn in moving the meeting to January 31st instead of February 1st?
Nope, not for mine.
Okay.
SPP meeting, that could be a challenging day. So
that's a travel day back. I want to get back on Monday.
Well, no, the Monday, the 30th is the meeting day. So the 31st is the travel day. And so.
It's got a doubt. I got it worked out to get back Monday night, I think. And if not, then I'll figure it out.
Okay.
Just the way call it goes. In.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So I'll call in or something. But no, thanks, Vic.
So I was making sure I had a good note on the previous item. So the request is to move the commission meeting and the informal from the 1st to the
31st.
1st of February to the 31st of January.
And if you wanted to do it in the afternoon, we could instead of the morning. I was just thinking the morning.
I have no objection to either one if you think that the afternoon would give you a better likelihood of getting back.
Yeah, that'd be a good compromise if that's okay.
Sure.
So 1:30 the meeting and then 2:30 the informal if we have it? Or no, two hours later, 3:30.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay. Daryl, you'll make that change?
Okay.
Okay. Is that it?
Thanks.
Excellent. All right. We are adjourned.